2018 is a great, great year because God's in it. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to let you out earlier today. That was one of the directives that would be good for churches to follow, to make sure that we're not congested after service and those things. Genesis chapter 3, we get to the first really sad account in the Bible, the fall of man. And probably many of you know the story that God had told them all of the garden, given them great, great liberties and gave them responsibilities, but said, don't eat of this tree. And so Eve did, gave to her husband who was standing there doing nothing, and he ate of it as well. And so now God begins to ask questions. And there's a question that God asks Adam and Eve that I want you to be asking yourself and allow God to ask you this entire year. And so let's read the account because there are a number of questions, but we want to hone in on one of these. Genesis 3, verse 6. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was there with her. And he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to man. And again, here there's some questions God's asking. Where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Verse 11, who told you you were naked? The Lord asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Obviously, verse 12 is better suited for a men's conference. Amen, amen, men. Point at the man, every man, and then find a man next to you or in front of you. Point at him and say, no excuses. No excuses. All right. So God came asking questions. Asking questions. And it's interesting that God allowed Adam to respond to these questions except for one. And then he just went into another question. And the question, they were where, who, have you, what? All right. But I want you to note and look in your Bible. Everybody bring your Bible to church. Amen. All right. Verse 11. Who told you you were naked? Who told you? What is the narrative? What is the story? What is the source of your information? All right. Because they decided that they were naked. They made a decision about their nakedness. They sewed fig leaves together. And but the idea is that when God says, who told you you were naked? What God is saying is, I didn't tell you you were naked. I didn't give you that information. Where did that information come from? But have you noticed that Adam and Eve, and in our life, when we get information, regardless of the source, we tend to make decisions, don't we? And if the information is wrong, if the information is faulty, then our decisions will also be wrong and will also be faulty. When we get the narrative wrong, our decisions will follow down that wrong path with wrong actions. So we want to ask ourselves a question all through 2018, I hope for the rest of your life. And that is, the narrative that we believe about ourselves, the narrative that we believe about our life, ask yourself, who told you? Who told you that information? Where did that information come from? And if it did not come from God, then we have to take that information and also find out what did God say and let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Ask your neighbor, who told you? So what has God said? You know, one of the great things about the Bible, and you've probably noticed this by now, but much of the Bible is about stories, isn't it? We have obviously the wisdom of Proverbs and the songs of Psalms and the doctrine of Jesus and Paul and the different apostles in the New Testament. But so much of the Bible is a narrative. All right. Why do we go to the movies? Why do we read, whenever we take a break, I always read a leisure book. Why do we like stories? All right. Because we kind of get them, don't we? We like stories that have conflict and stories that have resolution and stories where the bad guy gets caught and the good guy gets the good girl and they go off into the sunset forever, right? And so in the Bible, we have stories. Not all the stories have happy endings, but they're stories and they happen. And so we understand God's working in the lives of men and women through these narratives. And so God is telling us His stories. And God is telling us His narrative in the light of ours. I want to look at a few people today from the Bible. And I want you to listen and focus in on what they believed about their narrative. What they believed about the story of their life. Go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. See, people have been telling you stories your whole life. Typically, we hear our first stories in the family of our origin. Our parents, our caretakers, our brothers, our sisters, uncles, aunts, they begin to tell us stories. They begin to tell us about ourselves. We have teachers and coaches and different ones that will begin to feed us information. And so here we pick up a story. But when God begins to tell His narrative, this guy named Gideon had already believed something about his story. Judges 6, verse 11. Now, what had happened was the Midianites were oppressing the people of God, and they were afraid to go about their normal lives. They were afraid to, when you would have a harvest of wheat, they would you would cut the wheat, and then it would go through a process, but it needed air and it needed circulation for it to be mature so it could be usable. And so here we see Gideon, and he's in a cave threshing wheat. You're not supposed to thresh wheat in a cave. Why was he in a cave? Because of fear of the Midianites. All right. Judges 6:11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizanite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, you know one of the funniest things I find in the stories of the Bible is how many people in the Bible argue with angels. We don't see angels every day. We have no indication that Gideon, you know, had breakfast, watched a football match with angels. So an angel appears, and I don't know about you, but if an angel told you something, you'd be, "Yes, sir, angel, sir." All right? Because the angels of the Bible are not short, little, fat babies with wings. They're 12 feet tall. They have fire and swords. Okay? And people are usually afraid. So here's the message. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So again, here comes this communication, this assignment from God. Go in this might of yours. Well, guess what? If God says you have might, you know what? You've got might. All right? Listen to the answer. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Why was he doubting? Because he believed a narrative about himself. He believed a story about himself that the Lord did not believe. Listen to this. Indeed, my clan, some translations say tribe, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, that's his tribe, and I am the least in my father's house. So, 12 tribes of Israel. Ours is it's the worst tribe. Okay, but wait a second. Who told you that? If these are the 12 tribes of God, these are the 12 tribes that God has ordained. Who said yours is the worst? Someone did. And here's the thing. He believed it. And he acted on it. So my tribe is the worst. My clan in that tribe, it's the worst in Manasseh. All right. And then our family is at the bottom of the barrel. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, who told you? See, where did he get this information? Now, in this account, we don't know where he got the information. But the fact is, someone told him, and here's the problem. He believed it, he acted upon it, and he began to live it out. All right? So, if God didn't give you the information, then that information is not to be acted upon. It's not to be, you're not supposed to build your life upon it. All right. If you believe the wrong thing, you'll hide in a cave when God wants you on the battlefield. Amen. Moses, Exodus chapter 3. God comes in a burning bush. Moses got this great deal. I am going to deliver my people out of Egypt. He already knew that Moses liked this idea, because 40 years before this, Moses had killed an Egyptian for oppressing one of his kinsman, an Israelite, and he had to go run and hide, but he still had that sense of justice on the inside of him. And so now God says, I'm going to deliver them. You're going to do it. You're going to go to Pharaoh. It's going to be awesome. So here is Moses's response to a burning bush that is talking to you with an audible voice. Again, not something you see every day. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? It doesn't go into great details like Gideon did, but can you see that Moses believed something about himself? The question is, Moses, who told you? Who told you you can't go to Pharaoh? Who told you that God won't be with you? And so God responds. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Can you see it's all about identity? Moses says, who am I? God says, I am who I am. And that one is with you. When God is with you, it changes the narrative. Well, but you see, my parents have always told me that I'm the slowest in the family. I don't really have an academic mind. And I'm not as pretty as my sister. I'm not really fat. I've got big bones. Ask your neighbor, who told you? Who told you? See, it'll never work out. This can't happen for you. Someone has been giving you a narrative. Now, the amazing thing is that regardless of whether it's the voice of an angel or the voice from a burning bush, it is very, very difficult to overcome the voice on the inside. The voice that's been telling us things. You have to make a decision to believe something else on the inside. And so many, many times we are waiting for something around us, our circumstances, to change so that the narrative can change. No. The narrative changes on the inside first. Changes on the inside, and then the outside changes. All right? You have to decide for your own life about all the narratives of your life, and that is, who told you? I don't have to believe them if it doesn't line up with what God says. Let's look at, and this one is a great contrast, and that is Caleb and Caleb's buddies. All right. Again, 12 tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. God sends them into the promised land, not to say if we're going to go into the promised land, but just to see what it's like. And they came back with grapes, and they had to carry them on sticks. I mean, those are big grapes. All right. Numbers 13. And so they come back with their report, and the people, the 10 spies had already been giving a negative report about what they believed and what they saw. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once, right now, and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb believed a story. Caleb believed a narrative. Who told you that, Caleb? Well, Yahweh told him that. He believed that God had sent them. He believed that that was their land. And so if anyone was in our land, they have to leave. God will drive them out. God's promises are true. And that's what he believed. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." All right. Here's the question. They were spies, right? They went in, they spied, hid behind rocks and bushes, right? And they got out. Who told them they were stronger? Did they have an arm wrestling competition? "Hey, giants, come here." They believed in their heart. It was not God that told them that those people were stronger. They believed it, though. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land through which they had spied, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." Who told you that? "And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Can you see they're believing a story? Caleb believed a different story, and it led to different action. All right? Where did they get the grasshopper narrative? Who told them? Someone other than God. And you and I are going to have to, in 2018, find these sources that come into our life, these sources of information that are not consistent with what God is saying. And we are going to have to eliminate those sources of information in our life. All right. Is that what it's feeding me? Yes, it's what's feeding me. But God says something else. "I will believe the report of the Lord." Amen. So, who told you your story? Who told you about you? Amen. We are going to look back at this throughout 2018, and we're going to look at how we view different things about our life, how we view others, how we view gender and our roles and different things. And we are going to challenge to say, you know what? If God didn't say it, then why am I to believe that? Amen. And so maybe you are a 24-year-old young lady and you've discovered that God sovereignly, by his own will, put deposits of leadership in you. And you're supposed to do something like Deborah, like Ruth, like Priscilla in the New Testament. Things that God has called and he's designed you. But someone told you, "Oh, you're a girl. You're supposed to have babies. And that's all you're supposed to do." No. Who told you that? Who told you that that's all you're supposed to do? Have babies. Amen. With your husband. Please. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad somebody didn't tell Rachel Just have babies and don't sing. Because then we'd be robbed of this gift that God Almighty put on the inside of her. You can't die with a gift. You're cheating the world. You're cheating the Creator who put it inside of you. One of my favorite movies in the last 10 years, for a number of different reasons, is a movie called The Help. It talks about the civil rights movement in America, but it really looks at personal relationships and the tragedy of racism and different things like that. But in that story, there's a lady who's raising this young girl. And this young girl is not as cute as the other little girls, and she's a little bit overweight. But the lady that looks after her keeps telling her, "You is smart, you is kind, you is important." And throughout that movie, she keeps telling her over and over and over again. All right? Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie. Okay? But they have to say goodbye at the end of the movie. And she grabs her and says, "Little baby, you remember what I told you, right? You remember what I told you. You got to remember what I told you." And then that little girl says, it's not what her caretaker is saying. She says it herself. "I is smart. I is kind. I is important. Who told me? Somebody who saw it in me. Somebody who's speaking the truth into my life." Because her mother and life and all these other voices were telling her lies about her. Amen? So, it's not so much about what God says. It's not even so much of what other people say. What are you saying? Are you facing giants thinking you're a grasshopper? It's all right to be a grasshopper, but if God is with you, you're a grasshopper with God. And that changes the whole story. Amen. Another movie, this is a long, long one, about a little bear. It's called The Bear. And it shows this little bear going through Alaska, and he's lost from his mom, and so he's got all these adventures. And there's this mountain lion that's always after this little bear. So it comes to the end of the movie, and this mountain lion is chasing the little bear again. And huge, huge river chases the bear, and he's up against it. And here comes the lion, and he's about to get this bear. And then that little bear rises up. I mean, he's a little bear, all right? Rises up on his back legs and goes, "Rawr." And the lion, scared, runs away. And you're thinking, what did the lion see that I didn't see? And then the camera pans out. And behind the little bear is a giant Kodiak bear, thousands of pounds. And behind the little bear is a big bear going, "Rawr." See, when you stand up to circumstances, when you stand up to the narratives of your life and the lies of the devil and the lies of other people, the accuser will leave. The accuser will back down. Amen. Because what God says is the truth. What God says about you and what God says about your situation. So, God is a story changer. God is a story changer. In 2018... last 10 years, it seems like so many people and in media and news and different things, people keep telling us that you can't change. Well, why are you doing that? Well, I was born that way. Regardless of what it is, it's just the way I am. I can't change. The message of the Bible is screaming loud and clear. You can change. It can change. If we can't change, why do we come to church today? Amen. You're going to get persecuted anyway at work tomorrow. You went to church? What? You're crazy for going to church, all right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God changes our story. Verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11. "And such were some of you." Such were some of you. You don't have to raise up your hand, but did you make the list? I know some of your stories. I've talked with you. You've talked to me about some of your stuff from your past. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people in Miracle Life that made this list. All right? These types of behaviors, these types of thinking. But here's the deal. Because of regeneration, because of being born again, some of us were those people. If we were, then guess what? We're not today. We're not now. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our Lord. Amen. I know we're going to get over soon. We can't sing this song. Anidoba. Anisuka. See, we don't stay dirty. We don't stay stinky. My wife gave me some beautiful clothes for Christmas. Nice clothes. And so there was this red jacket or like a pullover thing. It was cold. So I was wearing it all the time. All the time. I was wearing this red jacket. Wearing this red jacket. So comfortable. Oh, it's just so nice. Whoa, but here's the problem. I didn't clean it. It wasn't getting washed. And so the last time I was wearing it, she was saying, my wife has a bionic nose. She has a gift of the spirit for smelling. Okay. And she's like, what is that? And I said, I don't know. It's not my shirt. And he goes, it's your red jacket. It's your red jacket. Well, guess what? It's getting washed. Anisuka. Amen. It's not going to stink anymore. Some of us once were. Tell your neighbor, not anymore. Say, God changed my story. And he's not done yet. Hallelujah. In the Message Bible, it says, a number of you know from experience what I'm talking about. For not long ago, you were on that list. Since then, you've been cleaned up and given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God present in us, the Spirit. Amen. We once were, but now we've been washed. Now we've been sanctified. Now we've been justified. There is something that has changed our story. John chapter 9. There was a man that met Jesus. He was blind. Jesus spit on the ground. Verse 6, made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. Don't try that at home. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar. How did they know him? As a blind beggar. How do some of the people in your past know you? From that list, right? Some of us once were. They knew him as a blind beggar and asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and some others said, no, he just looks like him. Why? It can't be him because people don't change. This can't be the same guy. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go in the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed and now I can see. They knew him as a blind beggar. No longer. No longer. The artist formerly known as Prince. Amen. You are the Christian formerly known as a thief. You are the Christian formerly known as a failure. But something has happened to you. The story has changed. Is it still a part of our past? Absolutely. It's a part of it. We can glory in what God has done. Paul said, I was the chief of all sinners. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. He didn't try to whitewash his past. But it was cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's no longer a part of his future. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I think we're closing here. Yep. The angel was speaking to Mary. Mary, you're going to give birth to a son. His name's going to be Jesus. I didn't learn about that at school. How is this going to happen? I'm not married. I don't know a man. All right. So the angel is trying to encourage Mary that God does supernatural things. That God does things that you can't always figure out. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." And now to encourage her, the angel talks about something that happens supernaturally. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." She was called barren. The blind man was a beggar. We were thieves, defilers, all that list of stuff. Tell your neighbor, not now. The story's changed. You cannot continue to call yourself something that God doesn't call you. Abram had a really hard time. It took him 8 chapters of Genesis to get into his heart that God really was going to give him a son through his wife Sarah, even though they had passed the age to have children. And so God says, all right, I need to kind of help him. I'm take him outside. I show him the stars. So he's given him kind of tools to believe. But one of the things that God did is he changed his name to Father of Nations. Father of Nations. Where are your kids, Father of Nations? I'm just going to go ahead and say what God says about me. You see me a certain way, but God sees me a different way. And that's why Romans 4 says that God calls those things which are not as though they were. Amen. So when you agree with God about you, you're not crazy, you're just like God. Amen. Some of you, if you're married and you're trusting God for a child, you need to consider yourself as the one who was barren. The one who was formerly unemployed. The one who could never take that last exam and get an entrance. Amen. Because God is changing the narrative of our life. Let God change your story. But friends, it must change on the inside. When the Israelite army saw Goliath and they were afraid, because he was so big, David saw that he was so big that I can't miss him. Amen. So in 2018, go ahead and pick out the 5 smooth stones. Get them in your pocket. Just get ready for Goliath. Get ready for the showdown. Amen. And when it happens, run to the giant. Speak God's word to the giant and let God change the story. Not only for you, but for other people. Because did you notice that all the scared Israelites, once Goliath fell, they all got up and chased the Philistines. Amen. God wants to use you as a catalyst in your family. God wants to use you as a catalyst in this church, in where you work, in your sphere of influence. Amen. We have to not believe the narrative that says it cannot change. I cannot change. You see, this church, Miracle Life Family Church, Rhema Zambe, it has in its DNA, we are the impossible people. We shouldn't even exist today. This is a place full of testimonies. Amen. And so begin to make a list about things in your life, about narratives, and ask yourself the question, who told me? Who told me? And if it wasn't God, I'm going to challenge the validity of that information. Amen? Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you that you are true and that your word is truth and that your word spoken to us is truth. Father, I know that throughout my life, you have challenged me over and over and over again to challenge who told me. It doesn't have to stay that way. Father, I pray that every single one of us, Father, will see ourselves and see our future in the light of what you are saying and not in the light of the narrative that's been told to us. Father, you did make Gideon a mighty warrior. David did chase down the Philistines. Abraham and Sarah did have a baby. God, you did bring your children into the promised land. Father, it is possible with you. And Father, we thank you right now that you're changing the story on the inside and you're changing the circumstances on the outside. And Father, as we enter into 2018, Father, for some of us, maybe some of the things that we have seen haven't necessarily changed. But God, we're changing. We're changing. And we're a different person heading into our situation, heading into our circumstances. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the greatest miracle that God wants to do in your life is to bring in into his family. Maybe some of you are in this place and you were told that being a good person or being religious, being baptized as a baby, that was okay. That was enough for God. Well, see, I want to challenge you today that that isn't what the Bible says. It's not what God has said. God says that the only way to himself is through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Well, who said? Jesus Christ said. He spoke those words. The word of God, God himself says that if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Everything changes. Today, that can be you. Don't trust in religion. Don't trust in your goodness. It's not enough. Maybe some of you have been told you're too dirty. You're too bad for God. You've committed the unpardonable sin. Who told you that? Not God. God says whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. You're part of the whoever today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, and you're far from God, and your heart has grown cold, and there's rebellion in your thoughts and your actions. Maybe somebody told you, maybe you believe, God will never have me back. Who told you that? Not God. God says, come, come, confess your sin. He's faithful, he's just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That can be you today. Come to him. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not born again, or I'm a backslidden Christian, I'm a rebellious Christian, and I need to come to my Father today. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand real, real high. We're going to pray a prayer. God's going to come into your life. The first Sunday of 2018 is going to be your day of new beginnings, of liberation. Just lift it up real, real high. Wave it at me. Start off this year knowing Jesus, being born again. Thank you. God bless you so much. Who else? Say, that's me. Thank you over there. Yes. Who else? Don't leave this place. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you over there. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Those of you that lifted up your hand, what I'd ask you to do is just grab your handbag, your belongings, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. Take a step out of your old life and take a step of faith towards Jesus Christ. Can we give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Anybody else? Anyone else? All right. Wonderful, wonderful. If I wanted to give you this as a gift, right, you would just reach out and receive it. Yeah, as a gift. So what God has for you is a gift of salvation, of forgiveness. So we can't pay for it, but we do receive that by faith. So what I'd ask you to do is just lift up one of your hands as a sign to say, God, I'm receiving from you. Say this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. I trust you now. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You've been raised from the dead. I put my faith in you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I leave sin in the past. I follow Jesus for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for forgiving me, for making me into a brand new person. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.